Yo, welcome to the Interns Podcast, where my mic is green and Brad's mic is orange, but Brad really wants my green mic.
I think we finally settled it. We only didn't even know it was an issue until one day, yeah. If you don't watch the video, our mics, not from us, have a green piece of tape and an orange piece of tape, and we grab these same mics every single week.
Yeah, and today Brad wanted to mix it up, apparently. He grabbed my green mic.
See, so every time I grab them, I always go, which color do I want? And I don't prefer either of them. I'm being honest here.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I want orange. No, did I get green? I got green.
You're green today.
I said, I want green. Apparently, you've been keeping track.
Well, I'm like, I just know that I always have green and you always have orange.
Okay. Well, now we know where we are.
Well, I said that if you wanted green, I would have given it to you.
No, it's fine.
You want green.
I'll be an orange.
We can do it right now. I can mute these mics and we can switch.
Let's not. No. Although I'm tempted.
You're tempted.
Yeah, but I don't even really want that green.
You want the
green. Now, if that was
my Fitbit.
If that was like gray or blue or it's gone, Nate. It's gone.
It's in my office.
We're podcasting. But let's keep going.
I just think about all the steps that we've taken.
Health.
That have not been, I haven't been.
Anyway, thank you for listening to us.
I can't even think of the word that I'm thinking of.
We're now at the point where we're just so casual in these podcasts that we're not acting like it's a podcast. We're just talking to each other.
So wasted steps.
Let's jump right into you're not even moving unless you count your hand actions. Well, dude,
I mean, we danced earlier.
Oh, we did dance. Yeah.
We walked all the way to the student center twice.
We just had a really powerful moment with Pastor Rick, who was practicing on the piano. The power of Christ in me, here in the power of Christ, I stand. Something like that. Nate and I both knew the song 50%, and we danced and we praised, and it sounded terrible. That's all you got, man? You're really distracted by this Fitbit.
No, I'm trying to think of the actual name of that song.
Here in the power of Christ.
Yeah, I know, but we're going to get crapped on, dude.
What
we don't
power know. Of hand.
Yeah, we know the
scheme.
Yeah, that's the lyrics. What's the name of the song? Christ in Me?
Let us know. Let us know.
Dude, we're going to get so clapped on for that one. I mean, that's a classic.
I am on a winning streak of forgetting things, so... Let's keep it going. So anyway.
Here, yeah. Tell him I'm going to look up.
Yeah. One. So something dude,
I found it. I found it. It's this one.
You cannot have that. You cannot do that to me.
Got him on the podcast. Okay.
So this week. Yeah. Let's talk about this week. Not about forgetting stuff. This week is Easter. Yay. Finally.
Dude, by the time this is out...
it would have been
Easter. Yeah, so happy Easter to everybody listening. Day after Easter, I hope that your Easter weekend was full of family, food, and great classy dressing. As in like attire, not like Thanksgiving dressing. Unless that's kind of your vibe. If you like dressing,
hey,
my brother loves dressing. Actually, hates it. I love dressing. He hates it.
Something about...
My dad loves dressing. That's who it is.
Something about dressing real nice. Jess... really doesn't like to wear dresses.
Yeah.
Easter is like probably the one time each year I can get her to wear a dress.
I do remember this. For some reason, I was in your house one day when she went with Kate to go get a dress. I think maybe if she was with Kate, but she walked in with a dress and you're like, you're going to wear a dress.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was for Night to Shine.
Oh, it was. That's Night to Shine. Yeah. So. She looks so beautiful. In dresses. I just wish you'd wear them all the time.
Anyway. Kate's been wearing a lot of dresses. So.
Oh. Well.
I think she looks beautiful.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
You don't.
I was like, Kate can wear a dress all she wants. I don't care.
Yeah. That's the right response. Jess, you got yourself a good one.
Yeah. So.
Kate, I care.
So, yeah. So, we're gearing up for Easter here at the church. And, Nate, I would really say that this week we've been doing more intern-y things than normal. It's been one of those weeks where we've been on flunky duty, doing random things.
What I've realized is we do the most intern things. Obviously, we've discussed how we have kind of both taken on different hats in the church in just a season of time as far as the church goes. We still do a lot of intern things. But if we don't have to do intern things, the church rathers, the church leadership rathers us take on more larger roles with them. But I've realized, Christmas, we are full hands on deck intern role, right? Easter, I've realized the same. And then a lot of times in the summer, it seems like those are kind of the three big times that we do a lot of intern-like things.
Definitely. So before we get into like the specific details and stuff, my week has actually been pretty mild. It's because I don't have small group on Easter, so I haven't got to get ready for that. I didn't have coffee talk this week either, so I didn't have to plan for that. What I do have, though, is I had one massive paper I had to get done. Well, massive, like 10 pages or something. And I have another 10-page paper that's due at the end of the week, and then all my typical college stuff. So this week, I've focused mostly on schoolwork.
Yeah.
And I would say that's about the general for me. What about you?
Yeah, this week I've been, for the youth, they're on spring break. And so we've been formulating some fun things to do on spring break for them. We came up with two ideas, very low maintenance, because I know that there were a lot of students that were out of town for spring break, living it up with their family or friends or whatever they're doing. So we had a lunch on Tuesday, and man, that went really well. We had a good turnout for that. Plus, it was just really good food. Loved me some Tijuana Flats and Jeremiah's ice cream to finish off. I don't even know if you call it ice cream. It's more, I know it's Italian ice, but then there's also ice cream you can put in it.
I'm not picky.
Okay, cool.
I know some people are like, it's gelato.
Yeah.
Or it's...
Gelato's not vegan?
Yeah.
There's a... pop culture reference for you if you don't know that.
Probably figure best. It out.
Yeah, probably honestly don't figure it out, you know. It's okay if you don't. We did that. Me and you, we did not a lot of building. Yeah, well, actually, we did do a lot of building this week.
We did. We took on some construction work this week.
So Monday, you were actually a model for a photo op.
That's right. Let's start there. We put up, it's like an awning. It's like an entrance to the worship center.
Let's rephrase that. We did not put that up.
Sorry. a company came, and hopefully Pastor Brad doesn't listen to this, because he might be like, hey, let's not call it that. It's a big tent.
Yeah, it is.
He put up a big tent in the front of the church. Temporary. We just want to see how it looks there.
Yeah.
But anyway, our Easter pictures are going to be under it, and mm-hmm. the cross and nice family photos. So we wanted
to be honest. That tent is sweet, though. Like, it's so much shade from the sun.
Oh, yeah. And, its purpose is nice.
Yeah.
We just need to make it look good.
Yeah.
And so Monday, we were getting the cross. We were getting some photos, and I had to pretend I was happy. And so, Brad, you were there. Brad made me stand in front of the cross and take some nice photos.
Yeah. You had to pretend? I mean, I was around. I feel like we were...
Oh, you're right.
Come on, we were happy. Don't you remember that time we were happy?
Oh. That's when I first met you.
Oh. It's just been downhill from there. That was it. You said, I feel like this guy could be cool.
You went,
you know what? No.
You went, my name's Nate, short for Nathan. And I went, oh.
My gosh, one of those guys. You took pictures, Brad took pictures for you.
Moved some cinder blocks. Brad didn't like them, moved the cinder blocks back.
it looked tacky to have the cinder. So we went and got longer legs for the tent.
So now that's looking great.
Looks great, yeah.
So that's what we did Monday. Oh, also Monday, you and I built some shelves.
Tuesday.
Let's go to Tuesday. Yeah. You and I built some shelves.
We built some shelves. I like to call them floating shelves. Brad instantly, when he saw them, corrected me.
June. It was June.
Oh, June corrected me, Brad's wife, that they are not floating shelves because you can see how they're held up. Yeah. Didn't know that was the... It makes sense that would... not be a floating shelf because it doesn't truly look like it's floating. Apparently, for it to be floating, the thing that holds it up has to be engulfed or enclosed by the shelf itself.
And you can't use super glue because apparently that's frowned.
Come on. Hey, come on, son.
So, hey, let's talk about that a little bit. You are actually making some cool changes to the student center.
Yeah, we've been in conversations about, hey, man, how can we shift and make the student center... revamp it a little bit to kind of make it more one with the times, if you will, because there are just some pieces in the Student Center that we said, you know what, it's had a long tenure, and it's probably on the way out, and rightfully so. And so we're making small changes right now before we use some more resources to kind of see, okay, did this check out well? Is it well received? And then we can go forward with larger and greater plans for what we have in store for the Student Center. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we built those shelves. That was a really good, I think, first small project. Really cool moment that had. Let's go ahead and go to Wednesday, because yesterday. So Wednesday, you guys don't need to know what day we record. We record right when you listen.
It's live.
No, it's on Wednesday of last week. We went ahead and built a table as well. That is the most frustrating table I've ever had to build or put together, because when we ordered it, I ordered it as a set, and then for some reason the company canceled the order and instead broke it up into every piece that they were sending to me. And so with that, it meant we had no instruction manual as well as it was a 3-week process of random pieces being sent. Like, there's 8 chairs. The first thing that came in was like three chair bodies, and then another thing of like 4 chairs, and then another chair, and then it was like 5 of the backs, and then the other 3 got shipped at a later date.
What I liked is you got a singular box full of every screw that you needed.
Yeah.
Every screw.
Yeah, I couldn't even you could not try to build it, because that was literally like one of the last boxes that came too. But we got it all. It got built. You and a student built it.
And you and I, we're not very handy. Okay?
No.
Yeah.
This job has made me much more handy. I had no idea what a drill bit was until this job. And now I'm like, let's go. I know how to use this well.
Yeah. So what was so interesting is you got metal frames for like all the chairs, and you got like a screw hole in the chair's like top part, its head.
Yeah.
But the seat, it didn't have screw holes.
Yeah.
It just had a flat bottom. Yes. And so we had to mark it, use a drill bit to start a hole, and then screw it in. And let me tell you, like I said it right at the start, I was like, we cannot punch through these chairs. So Nate, you're responsible for this.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
And we did well.
We did good. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the material, it was a well-made material. So I was appreciative of the material that they sent us, that I think it looks nice. Really, I told you this, I'm kind of going for a Starbucks feel to it.
Yeah.
Like that modern seating, but large enough for many people to enjoy it. So, but now that we've said that, I think I've already gotten some good responses. I literally, a student came in, walked in, we had an event yesterday, and they came in and they said, "Wow, man, you really changed this place up." And really all we did was put a table together
and took some things off the walls.
Yeah. But it was like, okay, that small shift already showed, it made it seem like there is so much changing, in a good way, mm-hmm. And so it shows you that you don't have to, redo an entire building for the area to feel new.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to systematically change different things, and it'll make the room liven up well. So I'm enjoying, I think it is a start of something great. And so obviously any students that are listening, feel free to give some ideas. We may take them and use them. We've already gotten some ideas thrown at us that we're definitely going to look into. So
yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I'll say it, and Nate, you can tell me, no, don't do that. But hey, if you're listening, creep on over to the Student Center after service sometime on a Sunday or a Wednesday or something and stare at it and then get out.
Yeah. I'd say wait a little bit. Don't right after, because we'll still have students in there and I want you to freak them out.
Okay, there you go.
I'm just kidding.
Wait an hour.
Break in. Don't break in.
In the middle of small group.
In the main. No, yeah, feel free to go check it out. And while you're there, fill out a volunteer application. Right?
Ha, got you. We're going to close the door behind you and be like, side.
Yes.
No. What are you doing on Wednesday? Nothing.
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, come check it out. I think it's good. So that's what we did on Wednesday.
Then Thursday. Thursday, Brad was like, hey, I need you to build something. It was like some light trusses.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a light truss. So it'll hold. Yeah. I'm literally looking at it.
It's that thing.
It holds the lighting. So, I mean, we're very, and this kind of looks at what our Easter looks like. We want you to feel cared about. And we want you to know that we think that holidays are awesome, and we think obviously Easter, I think the two ones are Christmas and Easter are super special holidays, especially within the church because of what they symbolize. And so we also know that on Easter, it is a time to dress up and take family photos and whatnot. And so we have some photo booths and we want the lighting to look very good while you're taking those photos so you can be happy with the product of what we're giving you at the church.
Yeah. And so it is a big deal. I know on Sunday that something that Jess and I do every year is that we help take photos. Well, Jess takes photos. I stand there.
Yeah, you hold purses.
I stand there. I try, since I don't have a small group this Easter, besides announcements, my goal is to be just as friendly and welcoming as I possibly can, but not be overly creepy.
Yeah.
It's a fine.
So you and Jess are the
fine line to balance.
Yeah. Right. You and Jess are the resident photographers, and me and Kate are the resident chauffeurs as we drive them golf carts.
We're golfing too, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're
you
getting the golfies.
Man.
Oh, is Kate getting the second one?
No, I thought it was you. We and have me. Another volunteer.
Oh,
don't
sweet.
You remember?
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
I remember giving that job and then going, but photos.
Yeah, but you got taken away from it.
Okay.
I'm glad I told you that.
Yes, thank you.
Forgot okay. to. So yeah, that'll be really fun. And so we're glad that we were able to build that. And hopefully you as a listener took some great photos and you got to post them all over Instagram, Facebook.
It's really sweet. Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. So, hey, let's actually talk about Easter then.
Yeah.
Last Sunday, or two Sundays ago, I guess, Pastor Dan had a message. It's called The Power of the Invite, and it was about, like, inviting people to church, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would say more of, you know, inviting people to, you know, feel, like, experience the presence of God in their lives through the church. I know that's very Christianese, but... So what he did was he was like, hey... It was during the service. He was like, hey, pull out your phones right now. Mm-hmm. Text somebody.
This was last Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, honestly, turn up your volume. We want to hear those responses.
Yeah.
At worst, it's a no. So, hey, come on, just try to invite somebody to Easter. So we did. Jess invited two of our friends. One of them said they couldn't make it, but the other one is coming and they're bringing their family. So that's really exciting.
And awesome.
So, yeah, we're really excited for it. The Easter's going to be a big, big thing. I think we're expecting 1,000 people, right?
Yeah,
1,000 people.
That is, you know, it's great to hear you say things like, yeah, we invited some people and they're gonna join. That, I think it's something that me and Kate have kind of run into a wall on. Obviously, we're not from this area at all. And so we're kind of running into these, like, something that we're really trying to get into is, man, we need to get a great community. Obviously, you and Jess are two of our biggest community. But y'all are leaving, you know, and so
get some friends
yeah,
that so, aren't 10 years older than you.
Yeah, no, come on, man. So any, you know, 20 to 35 year olds, hit us up, you know,
hit us up. We're lonely.
We need you. You're 34, so. 33.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah. Sure. Whatever. It's all relevant now. I'm nearly dead.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to Easter. So besides that, I don't really have a lot of responsibilities. Even my announcements, I literally have one announcement. Welcome. Check in.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't have to remember anything else except maybe to pray. And not say anything heretical.
Let me use this as a time for announcement, too. Hey, we're having this upcoming Sunday, if you're here, we're having a fundraiser for our students and kids camp.
Is this a plug?
This is a plug, because we need to let people know.
The Sunday after Easter.
Yeah, so the April 7th, this upcoming Sunday for you, should be at least, we are having a fundraiser for the students and kids camps, and it is we're trying to hit a number so that we can make it as cheap as possible for all the students and all the kids to go to camp. So please come, invite people. If you are going to camp, either one of these camps, you should be the number one promoters of getting all your family and all your friends to come. And it's a meal after the 9:45 service and after the 11 o'clock service. So it'll be at 10:45 and at 12. They can come get a meal. We just ask that you give as much as you're willing to give for each meal. So we have no recommended price this time. Please just give and give joyously so that we can send as many kids and as many students to camp for as cheap as possible. So sorry, I had to plug that there.
That's okay. You know, we might actually just get demonetized or muted because we played Heartless.
That's fair.
While you were saying that, I went, you know, this video might not even make it through anymore. Oh, well.
We didn't play it for long enough.
Oh, well.
We played it for 3 seconds.
Yeah. One more thing for Easter, and then I'm going to kick it over to you.
Okay.
Okay. My a part of my Easter experience is actually going to be after church. Jess and I decided that we were going to have a little bit of an Easter party for anyone who doesn't have family in the area. And so we reached out to our local group, which is like college and like the board game shop that we go to. And we were like, hey, if you don't have family to hang out with on Easter, we're having burgers, dogs, and games. Come hang out with us. And so that's what we're doing as well.
Okay, now we'll be there.
Yes, you will, because you do not have family. And you only hang out with 38-year-olds.
38-year-olds?
That's all subjective.
Okay.
So there you go. That's my Easter plans. Let's go to you. Okay. All right. So enough of my boring stuff. You're doing something really cool on Easter.
Oh,
come on.
So yeah, on Easter, I was able to, I got prompted a few weeks ago. We were, listening to a song, and there's a great moment in the middle of the song. If you listen to a certain version of it, where it goes into a spoken word of what scripture, really that song resonates with. And it comes from a few like Colossians, really it's the four, like Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians. I think the only one it doesn't touch on is Galatians in there, but there's some beautiful passages that Paul, proclaims some truths about Christ. And so we got to use it as a moment, in our service, where I was able to speak those and proclaim that scripture over the congregation in the middle of the song. And it was just, it's a beautiful moment. Obviously, I've not yet done it, but by the time you're listening to this, I would have done it. And so, you know, I hope it went well. I pray that it goes well. And I think it'll just be, I'm still very much looking forward to it. And I'm excited about it. I'm not excited about the moment as far as me being in it, but I am very excited about what it is going to be for our church and just what it means.
You
just
gotta
for
bring us. The hype.
Yeah, man.
And that praise. Yeah.
Yeah. We've ran through it a few times already, and man, it is just, I think it's going to be
powerful.
It's going to be a beautiful moment. I really believe so. Just because of what it truly is saying and what the words that I'll be speaking are, and what they mean. So
I'm excited to be there for it. I'm excited to hear people come up to me and go, wow, Nate, you crushed it.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, not me.
You'd be like, thank you.
Now we did brainstorm a little bit that after you would say this, I would come up from between your legs, give you a piggyback and lead you out from the stage.
And we decided that was not the way that
it got shut down. I don't know why, but that would have been really cool.
I know why. I know why.
I don't have strong shoulders.
That's what it was. I would have dropped it. That's what it was. Well, you have a knee problem, remember?
That's it. I could have tripped you. So instead, Pastor Dan is going to do it.
No.
Oh, that would be even funnier.
Oh, my gosh. I will slowly dissipate into the crowd.
So, but can we talk a little bit about the secrets of like what you're reading, how I tried to bribe you? Do we want to talk about that?
I mean, we can. No, you know what? Don't even worry about it. I like that one to say. I think that was just, that's a funny moment for us.
Okay. It won't come out. Yeah. So I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be there and to feel that hype and that energy.
Yeah, I've never been on this will be my first time. Oh, wait, no, we did it on Christmas. I forget about that.
Oh, yeah, but we were being real silly on Christmas.
Yeah, this will be my first time on the main stage. in a big and crucial moment. So I'm very excited about it. So it'll be good.
So let me give you some advice.
Yeah.
No, don't say Easter's. Don't say Easter's next week.
I don't think I should say Easter at all. Yeah. So what if I? I think I have a template of what I need to say. And I think I shouldn't skew from that.
Also, don't look at me when you're up there because I might be trying to wreck.
So when we were practicing, this is funny. I had a hat on like I usually do, and they said, "Hey, can you turn your hat? Can you take your hat off? I just want to see what your face will look like when we're in the moment, because obviously I won't have a hat on Easter." And I took it off, and dude, you can't see anything. Like when because of where I'm at,
oh, you're
like the
blinded,
light,
yeah.
I'm like, Caleb was in the back and I saw him in the sound booth when I had my hat on. But when I took it off, I was like, dude, I don't even know who's talking to me at this moment. So it was really funny. So I will, even if you're in the crowd, I will not notice you.
Make wavy hands.
You could do that in the back and I'd be like, who's that?
Front row.
I can see you in the front row. I can see you in the front row.
Oh, look at me. I'm Mr. Video.
So, yeah, so that'll be a really cool moment. And hopefully you as a church are able to experience that and take it in for all that it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about our topics.
Yeah.
Lately, I think we've just been springing topics on each other.
It's been pretty fun.
Right? Yeah. It's been enjoyable to watch the other one like choke. yeah. So it's me. I'm the one that chokes. You're locked and loaded. Me, I'm like, oh goodness. Oh.
I didn't know this was a big topic.
Well, that's in the Bible.
I'm kidding.
So
no, you do very well when I spring things on.
I've got another one for you. It's a topic that the topics that I find really interesting are, of course, the ones that I see that are incredibly relevant, but I also the ones that people don't really talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm a hipster when it comes to like everything. If somebody discusses it a lot, I tend to like veer away from it.
Yeah.
So anyway, here's what I want to talk to you about, Nate. I want to talk to you about how Christians should handle nostalgia.
Yeah. Okay.
How should we feel?
Okay. First off, I want you to describe or define what you mean by nostalgia.
So nostalgia, what I mean by nostalgia is probably best summarized by the phrase like back in the good old days,
okay,
or like things aren't the way they used to be.
Okay. So when you're more so, I'm asking, when you're talking about nostalgia, are you saying like personal nostalgia or nostalgia of, man, you know, back then, and you never really experienced it? Because that's the nostalgia I feel most of the time is like, man, like this is something I've never experienced, and I'm really sad I never got to experience it, and I wish I could have.
I don't, because like, probably not the second one, because, you know, would I have loved to have been in an 80s roller skating rink?
That's what I'm saying.
Wearing those crazy clothes? I think I would.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
But that's not nostalgia.
Okay.
Nostalgia is saying like, man, I wish I was, you know, back in my room. Like
I miss my high school days.
Yeah. Back in my day, you know, I miss that dial-up sound. Yeah.
Yeah. Dial-up? What do you mean?
Brother.
Nate, what are you talking about?
Nate, you can't be serious.
Dial-up?
Are we going to have this talk right now? Do you know what dial-up is? Please
no.
Tell me. You know, you got to know what dial-up is. Oh, Nate.
Like a home phone?
No.
What do you mean?
Oh, Nate. Okay, let's do it. Because, you know, there's some younger people here.
I'll be honest, we're running out of time.
So. No! All right, how much more do we have?
We got about 10-15 minutes.
Okay, dial-up. Where, you know, we have Spectrum now, where it's like 100 gigabyte internet. Dial-up was 32 kilobytes.
Okay.
That's a third of a megabyte.
Yeah. Okay.
That's not even a third of a megabyte. That's a 30th of a megabyte.
That absolutely.
All right, whatever. It was dirt slow and it made a funny dial-up noise. It'd go boo wee woo 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 bap.
Never experienced.
Okay, let's get back to it then. Okay. Nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Yeah. Nostalgia. How should Christians feel about being nostalgic?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Like, so I think it's fine to a certain extent. I don't think so. So, I mean, if we're honest, I feel like there's sometimes that we can have sinful nostalgia and then we can have, righteous nostalgia. An example of like a righteous nostalgia is like to think back of my high school student summer camps and for like church camps. Man, those were great times. Like to be amongst the youth of my time, my best friends, we're all worshiping God. We're all having this super cool moment where we are just shouting praise to the Lord. We are on fire for the Lord. I think it's good to have a nostalgia to say, man, I wish I could have more moments like that. And I want to chase after that, knowing that you're not that you're chasing after that that exact time, but you're chasing after the feeling in that moment where you're fervently chasing after the Lord with community. That's a good thing. That should lead to good things. Because the truth is, if I find the right community, I can have that same experience. I don't have to be at a summer, a beach camp with my boys to do that. I can do that as long as, you know, on a Sunday morning when I find a good community that I say, hey, let's sink into the Word and let's sing some worship songs together. Mm-hmm. I can feel that exact same moment. And so I think there's some righteous nostalgia there to say, hey, I don't like how things are with me right now, where I'm not serving the Lord the way that I should be, and I have a righteous nostalgia to want to serve the Lord the way that I have in the past. Now, I believe there is a lot of sinful nostalgia of saying, you know, maybe I have a regenerate heart and I'm chasing after the Lord, just meaning that I'm saved. But I look back on my life before I was saved and there are some fun moments that I've had, but I know that I was enjoying sin in those moments. Mm-hmm. But there's still a part of me that's like, ooh, man, that felt good. There's a certain urge for me to go back and try that again. And that's just sinful. You know what I mean? So now, but I also think there's also just regular nostalgia that has nothing to do with that. That's more of just, man, there was a fun moment. I enjoyed it. There's really no sin pattern behind it. But also there's no real righteousness behind it. And in those moments, I don't think there really is a wrongness to it, but I also don't think there's an importance behind it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good thought. So what about stuff like this? You encounter this stuff on the internet all the time.
Yeah.
It's like some caption that says, like, if you didn't watch these as a child, you truly haven't lived.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, it's always stuff from the 90s. Because that's when I was raised. But one time I went over to another person's, like, I saw their Facebook feed and they were older than me, and it was shows from the 80s. And then recently it's shows from like the 2000s.
Yeah.
And so what is that? Should Christians say stuff like that?
No, not at all. Because, I mean, what you're doing there is you're kind of creating two parts. First off, you yourself are creating a judgment pattern in your own heart to say, like, oh, I judge you because you didn't experience these things. So you have not truly experienced the correct things growing up. Or it seems like every generation is looking down upon the next generation of like, oh man, you're like, look at all the dumb things that you are doing in your generation. My people would never, my generation would never. Yeah. You're raised up on the internet. You know, I had to, you know, I was raised up on scooters and I don't know, light poles or whatever. You know, or like the whole, I don't know.
Light poles,
I don't know.
Or like that's that, what we did that, for fun. We climbed
the light.
And then put our finger and electrocute ourselves.
Yeah, right. No. Did you ever do this? Like, this was my childhood of, you know, we didn't have... I don't know. We had technology, but
we didn't have dial-up.
We didn't have iPhones growing up, and so your parents wouldn't call you to tell you it's time to come inside. They'd be like, "Hey, when the light turns on, outside."
Yeah. They're just
the street lights. Time to come home.
They'd yell at me. Yeah.
And so there's a judgment pattern there, right? And that's not okay. We know that we're not to be judgmental as Christians. And I think there's also I've coined this phrase. I don't know who said it first. Like, this phrasing doesn't really rely here. I'll just say this. Don't cause anybody else to sin. And we know that envy is sin, or jealousy is also sin. And so if you're going out saying, like, trying to create a sense of nostalgia in somebody else of like, you right now should want to have been where I was. Mm-hmm. that's causing somebody to envy you, or causing somebody to have a jealousy towards what you had growing up, or what you have in the sense of maybe the materials that you own or the things that you've been able to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that's just wrong. We shouldn't want to do that either. Like, there's something wrong with us internally if we are wanting other people to be envious of us, right? That kind of shows that we aren't fully fulfilled in Christ, but we are looking for fulfillment in other people's appreciation or admiration for ourselves. And mm-hmm. so I think there is a problem there. And I think it's a hard problem, and it's something that we all have to kind of put to death. There's part of me that still struggles with that, of wanting people to look up to me and wanting people to want to be in the places that I've been. So
okay. And I agree with you completely. It's something that I feel like I see, or whenever like a certain phrase catches my ear, I'm like, okay, well, there's some slight challenges with that. There's a danger of living in the past, essentially, where like you see posts like that that's just ragging on people who aren't your age.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the phrase "back in my day." It's not bad per se, but sometimes it comes with the connotation of other generations are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Or like, slightly off topic, but you know, or it might not apply perfectly, but it's like, you know, back in my day, movie tickets and gas, they were such and such. What's wrong with this world, or this nation isn't what it used to be. There, albeit there is truth in those statements, but there's also a little bit of like, I just want to live like it's, or like, I want to live back here when here I am in the right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm not ragging on like older generations. Younger generations are very responsible for this. Millennials, me, are very apt to blame the older generations right now for housing prices. And it's like, They point at them and they say like, hey, your fault, you're bad, your times weren't perfect, you know, now we're stuck. And then they point at the younger generations and they go, I don't know what's wrong with you. You're like the iPad generation, tablet generation, all the kids are on a phone or whatever. I think I'm veering off track here. Back to nostalgia. Nostalgia, I think, very easily leads to either denigrating, like belittling other groups, like us versus them mentalities, or you just live so much in the past that you sort of become, you're pointless in the present.
Yeah.
It's like, how about I partner with them? How about we do the Lord's work together? No. They're too busy thinking about what was and not what is.
Yeah. That's good. And man, what a blessing it is that we as the church get to almost come in and say, hey, we are a family of the present, the past, and the future, all under one head in Christ, knowing that we get to come together and we don't have to point fingers at one another, but we get to coincide and say, hey, let's do this together. Let's build upon each other. Let's learn from each other. Let's grow from each other. And ultimately, let's glorify God with each other. And what a beautiful thing that is that we get to do.
Yeah.
And I think we sometimes miss out on that because we're so looking to kind of what you have said of like belittling or looking to each other as a problem. But man, we get a true opportunity to love one another and enjoy the benefits of intergenerational knowledge all collectively under one building, under one family, and under one membership in Christ. I mean, what a beautiful thing that is. We should never lose sight of that, right?
Yeah. I think this nostalgia topic does really lend into more of like generational conflicts and stuff. Yeah. Of like, why aren't you the way that things were? Well, why aren't you the way things are now?
Yeah.
Yeah. This butting heads.
And the truth is, I mean, there's pros and cons and you know, to each generation. Like there just is, like whether it's being more technologically advanced or whether having a greater work ethic or whatever it might be, that there's just pros and cons and really kind of skills versus liabilities in each generation that you're going to see. And that's going to be so. But a lot of times we're more blind to our own generation's
very
pitfalls,
much.
Right? And so we're going to always look to where our strength is in another generation or another age group's weaknesses, we're always going to pick apart those. But really what we should do is say like, hey, you know, let's work together. I see that you struggle here. I struggle here. You're really good at that. And I'm really good at what you may be struggling with.
Yeah.
Let's see how we can help each other.
Absolutely.
And so I think that intergenerational, and again, we should be, as the church, we should be the forefront of that. Like, we've been called to be intergenerational as a union and as a church. And so that is so good that we have that calling. Now we need to put it into practice, you know. Mm-hmm. We should be a difference. Like, the world should look at us and say like, man, how are these age groups? You know, it's so weird. We live in a culture and in a day and age where these groups are told that, hey, there's a divide there. And it's really, we give an excuse for the divide. We say, this is why the divide is there. And you really, there's no reason for you to try to mend that divide. We as a church should be looked at by the world as weird, because we should mend that divide.
We mend that divide.
Right?
Yeah.
And in a way that actually works. And we kind of show the world, hey, this doesn't have to be a huge fracture. Like, we can do these things together. You
Absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you for those thoughts.
Nostalgia, man.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we started with nostalgia, but ended with like generational mending.
Yeah.
I think that's what applies. Cause yeah, nostalgia goes, oh, I miss the good old days. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it sounds like having nostalgia or desire or longing for what once was isn't necessarily bad. I would even say you can do it a lot of biblically, like, sometimes, you know, God says, you know, remember what your ancestors yep. did, remember their faith and their actions, but there also is a tiny inherent danger of being stuck in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And again, I think it comes down to, what we've said in the past, like, it really just depends. There's a lot of nuance behind what are you being nostalgic of? Like, there are things that you can say, man, I really wish I could still be doing this. And it's like, well, that thing was sinful. That's why you're not doing it anymore. And it sounds good right now, but I promise it's not. You will be left again unfulfilled like you were in the past. But there's also, again, there's times when it's like, man, I miss this time in my life where I was fervently chasing after the Lord. I still remember there was a summer between my junior year and my senior year of high school. That was probably one of the most times I was on fire for the Lord. I miss that time. But that doesn't mean I need to look back and go like, oh, well. Rather, that should create in me saying like, man, I want that feeling again. I want that closeness with me and the Lord again. And now I go get it, you know. Now that should lead me to say like, more being more reliant on the Lord, praying to him, saying like, please create in me again that fire that once was. And I don't know, that's
I
a
like
good,
that turning it into a desire. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's a good, I think that's, I mean, that's what it should be. So yeah. There's a good way to enjoy nostalgia, and then there's ways it's like, okay, we'll make sure we know what we're being nostalgic of. And is it a sinful thing, or is it a thing that will glorify the God? But glorify the Lord, our God, Jesus Christ.
There you get tack on all the names.
Come on.
Adonai,
Elohim,
yeah, whatever. Yahweh. The God our protector, Adonai, Al Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai. Yeah, whatever. Okay.
Come on.
Yeah, nope. That's all I know.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't have anything else. You got anything else?
Okay, yeah. I have another topic for next week.
Okay.
So I know, is that against the rules?
No, it's not against the rules. I just feel like I don't give you enough time to talk about the topics.
No, it's fine. It's fine. So that was good. Yeah, I just want to bring these up with you. So the reason I wanted to do a back-to-back, I'll just tell you what now, is that today we're talking about Christianity and nostalgia, how Christians should look to the past. But next week, I want to talk about Christians and leaving a legacy.
Okay.
How should we look towards preparing the future?
That's good. That's good. Well, I'll tell you, you need to have a bunker, and it needs to be
a lot
full of beans
and
fried,
or
freeze dried things. And so,
preach it.
Come on.
Or just move to Thailand.
Do that as well. Okay. All right. We love you. Grace and peace.
See you, chumps.